Nation on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is again another today's special, and congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Ali Akbar, peace be upon him.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Thursday, is the 11th of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear listeners all around the world, we express our congratulations on Nowruz, the new day, the new year. Heartiest congratulations to you all. And we have another congratulation too. Heartiest congratulations to you all on a very auspicious day commemorated as Day of Youth. It is the day that is celebrated every year in the Islamic Republic of Iran as the Day of the Virtuous Youth. For it was on this day, on the 11th of the month of Shaban, that God has granted the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, with the meritorious son who bore a striking resemblance to his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, in both appearance and as he grew up in excellence of character. Named Ali in honor of his infallible grandfather, Imam Ali alayhi salam, his gait, voice, and eloquent manner of speech brought memories of the Prophet to the people of Medina, Mecca, and elsewhere. It was for this reason that while sending his youthful son to the battlefield, Imam Hussein alayhi salam hailed God as witness, saying he was now offering as sacrifice a person who was the carbon copy of the Prophet. Imam added, "Whenever we missed seeing your Prophet, we would look at him." Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Hazrat Ali Akbar, peace be upon him. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this short episode, we are going to be concerned with the birth anniversary of Imam al-Hussein's son, Ali al-Akbar. Ali al-Akbar, who was the elder son of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam, was a very important and notable personality in the Ashura episode. What's important in this regard is that on the day of Ashura, the companions of the non-Hashimite companions of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam never let any of the Hashimite companions of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam, and especially Imam al-Hussein's sons, to join the battlefield, the battleground before them. Hence, we find that according to exact and reliable histories, when all the non-Hashimite companions of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam were martyred one by one on the day of Ashura, from among the Hashimites, and especially the companions of and the blood companions, blood associates of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam, Ali al-Akbar was the first man who went to the battleground. According to exact historical records, when Ali al-Akbar went to the battlefield, Imam al-Hussein al-Salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned that, "Oh God, be my evidence that the best person, I mean the most lookalike of the truest lookalike of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went to the battleground." Imam al-Hussein's assimilating Ali al-Akbar to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was no exaggeration at all. In fact, Ali al-Akbar was a true lookalike of the Prophet Muhammad in terms of complexion, in terms of physical appearance, in terms of demeanor and behavior, and in terms of speech.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك.
السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah Allah, thank you for this day.
The Father, the Son. During the child, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was loved by the Prophet, and he loved him back excessively. The Imam was about 7 years old when the Prophet passed away. The image of the Prophet remained in the psyche of Imam Hussein as an everlasting memory. His love for the Prophet dwelt in his heart. Then God bestowed the child Ali Akbar upon Imam Hussein. When the child grows up and becomes a teenager, Imam Hussein realizes his son's face is exactly like that of the Prophet's. The face that he held so dearly was now reflected in this youth, so similar to his grandfather, and when he spoke, his voice resembled that of the Prophet. Moreover, his manners resembled the Prophet's. He was equally gallant, magnificent, and noble. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, whenever we miss the Prophet, we would look at this young man. Ali Akbar, the perfect resemblance of the Prophet. A Christian man once entered the mosque of the Messenger of Allah, so the people said, "Hey you are not allowed to enter the mosque, for you are a Christian, so leave." Thus he said, "Yesterday I saw the Messenger of Allah with the Jesus, son of Mary, in my dream. So Jesus said to me, 'Embrace Islam by the hands of the last Prophet, Muhammad, son of Abdullah, for he truly is the Prophet of this nation. I embraced Islam yesterday by his hands, and I have come now to renew my Islam by the hands of a man of his household.' Therefore, they took him to Imam Hussein. He narrated his dream to Imam Hussein and renewed uttering the two testimonies to him. Thus the Imam said, 'Do you like me to get you the one who resembles the Messenger of Allah?' The Christian said, 'Yes, O Master.' Thus Imam Hussein alayhi salam called for his son Ali Akbar. He was a young child at that time, and a veil was placed on his face. They took him to his father, and when Al-Hussein lifted the veil off his face beauty appeared and his brightness shined. The Christian became astonished and passed out. Hence Al-Hussein said to some of his close companions, 'Pour water on his face.' So they did, and he returned to the way he was. Then Hussein alayhi salam said, 'He's the one who resembles my grandfather, the Messenger of Allah.' The Christian said, 'Yes, indeed. It is as if I saw him with the Jesus yesterday.' Imam Hussein said, 'What would you do if you had a son like him and he got hurt, had a fever, or was injured by a thorn, or had a small cut?' The Christian said, 'I will mourn greatly over him, or I may die.' Thus Imam al-Hussein said, 'I foretell you that I will see with my eyes this son of mine cut into pieces by swords.'
On 11th of Sha'ban 33 AH, the prince of the Hashemites, Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam, was born. He was the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Sayyida Layla alayhi salam, and was famous for his dignity and handsomeness. So much so that the narrations tell us that whenever he would walk in the streets of Medina, people will gaze at his face like the moon. Of all the members of the Prophet's sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's family, it was Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam who resembled the Prophet the most. Whenever he would speak or act, it was as if it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam speaking and acting. From a young age, he showed the best of manners, even encouraging his mother Layla alayhi salam to light a fire so the smoke would come from the chimney so the poor and the needy of Medina could come and eat with them. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam was a courageous youth with complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the way to Karbala, when he noticed his father Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in distress, it was the words of Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam that brought joy and pride to the Imam. Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam said, "Why should we fear death when we are on the truth?" This was a young man in his prime, ready to go up to the dunya for his father. On the 10th of Muharram, Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam was the first from Banu Hashim to go and fight. He stepped up unflinching, ready to earn the pleasure of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "I am Ali, son of Hussein, son of Ali. By Allah, we are closer to the Holy Prophet. I will attack you with my spear until it becomes bent. I will defend my father with my sharp sword, as it is expected from a Hashemite, Alawite youth. How dare Ibn Ziyad issue orders about us?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam had named all his sons Ali, and truly Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam embodied Haydar in all ways.
Dear friend, dear youth, dear Muslim youth, congratulations on the birth anniversary of Hazrat Ali Akbar. Peace be upon him. And now it's time to leave you in the care and protection of Allah Almighty. Till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي. لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
لا إله إلا الله، الله ربي،
محمد نبي، علي إمامي.
لا فتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي
Food for thought.
Salam everybody, and since today, the 11th of Sha'ban, is the birth anniversary of youthful martyr of Karbala, Hazrat Ali Akbar, peace upon him, let us present to you the words of his father, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, while sending him to battle in defense of Islam and humanitarian values. O Lord, be witness against this people that a youth is leaving who greatly resembled the Prophet to the extent that whenever I was desirous of seeing my grandfather, I would look at him.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In our previous episode, we have discussed traditions that appear in the book of Aql al-Jahl, as some translate to the intellect and ignorance, or the intellect and foolishness, which is the first book of our main book, that is our main traditional or narrational book that contains the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, known as Al-Kafi. In this book, there are many beautiful traditions, as we have been mentioning over the past episodes. And one of the beautiful ones that we mentioned was from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, that he mentioned to one of his companions, known as Hisham. In this tradition that we will hopefully spend some time on, even though most of the parts will be independent of themselves, it is a very beautiful tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he expounds on what he called the armies of the intellect and the armies of ignorance, or as some of them, the armies of the foolishness or the fool, and so on and so forth. So the Imam begins, and the tradition rather begins, and says, a number of our fellow Shia reported from Ahmed ibn Muhammad, and so on and so forth, until the final narrator, whose name is Sama' ibn Mihran, he says that I was with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when a group of his devotees were also with him. And while they were there, a discussion appeared. So the topic of the intellect and foolishness, you know, came up. The topic of aql wa jahl kind of came up in the conversation. And so it was probably why they were discussing it and throwing ideas back and forth. The Imam then said this. So the companion, Ibn Mihran, says that, so Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, no, intellect and its army, and foolishness and its army, and you shall attain guidance. So the companion then said that, may I be your ransom, to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which is a term of affiliation, a term of affection, a term of extreme love to the Imam that the companion used. So may I be your ransom. And ju'iltu fidak, as the Arabic term says, we know nothing by what you have taught us. And then the Imam, from this point onwards, begins to expound on the intellect, its army, and the units within that army. And alhamdulillah, inshallah, every single unit will be something, you know, not necessarily people to follow on, but you can, you know, pick up certain important points from each of the units that the Imam will mention. So the Imam will mention one unit of the intellect and compare it and say that its enemy or that army or unit that is completely in contrast to it in terms of the ignorant or the foolish person is this. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to complete this tradition inshallah to the best of our ability. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the Tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. Meanwhile, we will listen to some quotes of the late Imam Khomeini about the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I, Mahdi, ask you to stay tuned.
إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي
According to Imam Khomeini, the Quran is the man-making book. Islam is the man-making ideology. Man in all his dimensions. Concerning the Holy Quran, Imam Khomeini has said, "It is the Quran that guides us to the lofty purposes to which we intuitively turn unaware. Set the teachings of the Quran in any of its features as your highest purpose. To the extent you act according to the Quran, you find coverage under its shield." Dear audience, now it's time to listen to verses 23 to 25 of Surah Al-Ahzab, recited by Brother محسن خدام حسيني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا وما بدلوا تبديلا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was a recitation of Surah Al-Ahzab, verses 23 to 25, recited by Brother Mohsen Khoddam Hosseini. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. The first rule is a rule of nun sakina, which is إخفاء here. رجال صدقوا. As you can see, we have a تنوين الضم. The rules of nun sakina also apply to تنوين, all of them. So if you have a tanween, automatically you have a rule of nun sakina. And it depends on the letter that's after the tanween. If it's a sad, it would be ikhfa nun sakina, because sad is one of the letters of ikhfa. So how do we actually apply the ikhfa? Okay, so the first thing we have to do is that we have to get rid of the place of articulation of nun. Okay? And then we have to approximate the place of articulation of sad. And then we have to, at the same time, we have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. All of these stages take place at once, all at once, simultaneously. It's not like it happens in stages. It's not like, no, it's not gradual, it's all at once. We approximate the place of articulation of sad, and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. رجال صدقوا ما عهد الله علي. We have مدلين here. We have a ya sakina preceded by a letter with a fatha. So we have مدلين, أي, which is a diphthong in Arabic. سلا. Here we have above the word alayh, we have sila, which means waqf is allowed, but wasl, continuation, is preferable. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى. Again, we have ikhfa of nun sakina, and also we have tafkhim of qaf and dad. قَضَى. نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ. We have two rules of nun sakina. We have idgham of nun sakina, and we also have ikhfa of nun sakina. Now, as you can see, both have nasalization. Both have ghunnah. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. تَبْدِيلًا. We have qalqala of the ba in the word tabdila. لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهِ. لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهِ. The jim has qalqala. The sound of jim has to be heard. It has to be heard. We have to hear the sound of jim, so we apply qalqala in order for that to happen. لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So, in these verses, we have a lot of ikhfas. إِنْ شَاءَ is another ikhfa. شَاءَ is مَدُّ الْمُتَّصِرُ. أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ again we have مَدُّلِّينَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْظِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَوِيًّا عَزِيزًا. We have to take care that we apply the rules of tafkhim and tafkhim properly. The letters that have the characteristic of istifal have to be read with tarqiq, and the letters that have the characteristic of isti'la have to be read with tafkhim. Of course, ra and lam sometimes are read with tafkhim. For example, Rab Nabid has a fatha or alif al-mad or dhamma or waw al-mad has to be pronounced with dhamma. We're out of time. I hope you enjoyed this segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I invite you to listen to the next segment of this program.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome back to our program where we try to find certain anecdotes, wisdoms, and certain life-changing experiences of others that show the grandeur and the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran. One of those stories comes in the form of a debate, or rather a discussion between a scholar and a certain lady who was very eloquent in her speech. And this has been quoted under the 7th verse of Surah Qasas, that is the 28th surah of the Holy Quran. So this surah deals with the story between, or rather the discussion between Musa alayhi salam's mother, or rather what was revealed to the mother of Musa alayhi salam in terms of how to protect Musa alayhi salam. So the verse is this in translation, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. We revealed to Musa's mother saying, nurse him, basically feed him, protect him. Then, when you fear for him, cast him into the river. And do not fear or grieve. We will restore him to you and make him one of the apostles. So regarding this particular verse of the Holy Quran, there's a story that goes like this. That a person by the name of Asma'i, right, this individual says that, I saw a particular young girl who would use very eloquent speech and would allude to certain things in a very beautiful manner, right? In a very eloquent, in a very, profound manner. And one day, I saw her, she was saying, Astaghfirullah min dhunubi kulliha. That, oh Allah, forgive me from every single one of my sins. And she kept on saying this. So I went up to her and I asked her, you have not reached the sin of responsibility yet. Why are you saying this? Why are you continuously, doing istighfar? Why are you continually seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then she says, and she recites a very beautiful bit of poetry. For the sake of brevity, we will not go into that poetry. Right? And then the story continues. Right? That the person narrating says that I got very surprised by these words. That these words blew my mind, if you like to call it this bit of poetry that this young girl recited. And then he says to her that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you for what you have done. You such eloquence. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not forgive you for such eloquence? And then she says, rather, he says to her that there is no eloquence left after what you have said. But then she answers him and she recites this verse of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, we will speak about the reply of this young girl to Asma'i in our next segment. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور شفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Lecture. Sheikh Asad Jafari.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. The view from within, an analysis of the self, has been an ongoing topic. Yesterday, we actually began a discussion on the topic itself, and we started talking a little bit about the self in general and how, what is this I? And as a recap from last night, we talked about this I-ness. When we say I, what does I mean? And we talked about the fact that from birth until all the way until the end of our life, or as we progress in life, there is a drastic physical change in our appearance. Remember, I talked about newborn babies to children, to adolescents, to teenagers, to grown individuals. You can tell that, you know, there has been a transformation in the physical dimension of the human being. And yet, in every single stage of that physical transformation, there is this unifying factor that labels you as I, or me, or whoever you are. It's not like you're a different person because you look different. Yeah, your physical dimensions and physical features may change, but the I-ness and that unifying factor remains throughout. So, from the moment that you're born until the moment you leave this world. And we talked about the fact that that unifying factor is the I that we want to explore a little bit more. And the importance of it, I scratched the surface a little bit yesterday, and I'll expand on that tonight as well. The little bit of the scratching of surface last night was in the form of the fact that I said that this body that we have, this physical transformation that we go through, this body will eventually be buried in the ground, but our existence will carry on. What will carry on? That unifying I factor will carry forward, which means that any act of worship that we do in this world, any amal khair, any service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has to be attached not to the physical body, but to the I inside of us, that immaterial, spiritual, ma'anawi dimension inside of us that will carry us beyond this alam al-nasut, beyond this materialistic world, into, of course, the alam al-qabr, then barzakh, and then etc., etc. Because if we limit the acts of worship to just the physical realm, meaning fasting is just reduced to a hunger strike, salat is just a show to show others, so you're physically doing it, yes, but it's not penetrating inside of you, right? Hajj is just a physical tawaf of the Kaaba. There is no sort of internal tawaf around Allah's arsh, you know, Allah's throne. That all of that is reduced and lowered down to a physical realm. The problem with that is that there may be salab in that, but that salab and that ajr happens in this world. So such that when the body is buried, all those acts of worship are also buried with it. The eye continues, but the eye continues without any amal with it. So you understand the importance of this discussion now. To further along this topic, I want to speak about two things. The first thing I want to do is a recap, a little bit of a review of the moment that Adam, or us human beings, were created, and this very crucial conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels in Surah Baqarah. No doubt this has been discussed several times across various different means and by different ulama. But given the fact that we're talking about this topic right now, it's important that we start off with the idea that there was this level, this maqam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being with, that was not understood or comprehended by any other existence around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, it seemed as if the way that tafsir presents, and I'll present in a moment, the way that tafsir presented this hidden secret of Allah, you know, this thing that is only known by the Creator, that no one else can see it. Why? It's nothing that's physical. It's something that's deep rooted inside that creation. Like, you know, for example, sometimes you have an artist, right? The artist paints a picture, and sometimes inside there's little hidden messages or hidden secrets or hidden hints that only the author knows. And somebody who's very, very close to the author, who knows the author very, very well, could see those hidden things inside. Otherwise, to you and I, it's a painting. Right? But there's always that mark. It appeared as if the way that he spoke to the angels and the angels spoke to him, it appeared as if there was this dimension inside of us that just wasn't understood by anybody and everybody. It was one of the kept secrets, the jewels that were kind of hidden away, right? If we have jewels inside the home, if we have gold inside the home, if we have diamonds inside the home, they're not spread all around for everyone to see. Somebody comes by the house, for example, you know, and now, you know, there's diamonds, you know, for example, where the shoes are. No, those diamonds really have to go inside the closet, inside the safe, whatever the case may be. And inside of the inside, then you know, okay, those are where my jewels are. It seemed as if this creation of us, the human being, was seen as a jewel. But yeah, there's a physical dimension that you could see. There's limbs, there's a head, there's a body, fine. But the true essence of that creation was hidden. The true beauty of it was hidden, only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what was that exchange? Oftentimes I say this, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces, إِنِّي جَعَلُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْخَلِيفَةِ, that I want to create on this earth, on this ard, a khalifa, a representative, right? A vicegerent, as sometimes the traditions show. The way that sometimes we understand it was that the angels were angry or confrontational, or they were almost challenging God by saying, why would you do that? Why would you want to create something like this on this earth when all it's going to do is facade and khunrizi and bloodshed? If you want hamd, you want thana, you want tasbih, we are there for that. We will do tawaf of your arsh, doing nothing but, you know, glorifying you and praising you. And the first point that I want to make to all of you, and this is straight from Allama Tabatabai Sayyid al-Mizan, when he discusses these verses very, very extensively, he says that the angels were not programmed, nor did they have the faculties inside of them to challenge God, confront God, question God. No. The tone that should be taken from the angels talking to Allah when he announced that I'm going to create a human on this earth is a tone of confusion, not a tone of confrontation. What is the confusion? Well, the confusion is actually, if you think about it, it's quite legitimate. The confusion is that we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlimited, flawless, materialist, immaterial, right? Everything he does is perfection. He's asking a limited, flawed, material-based existence to represent him. You know, we have a job description, then we have the applicants. And the applicants, right, are right away compared to the job description. Does your resume show what I'm looking for in my job description? If it doesn't, then thank you very much. Good luck in your future endeavors. Or thank you very much. Good luck. I heard that, you know, A, B, and C are hiring. That's kind of what the angels are saying. The Allama says that they didn't quite understand that you're talking about this human being. And now the question is, how did they know about the human, about the earth? That's a different discussion. He kind of, you know, he mentions the fact, Allama, that these are humans that this is an earth that was inhabited before Adam by some existence, whatever that means. So they know that the earth is a place of materialistic dimensions, and the earth is itself limited, and a place that is made for you to express your carnal desires in. Having said that, a person who has that type of access to their internal desires is bound to end up being someone who is oppressive, injustice, transgression, crime, bloodshed, and we're seeing that today. So you can see the confusion. That God, you know, you are who you are. Laysa kamithlihi shay, there's nothing like you. And you want this human to represent you. This human has these qualities inside of it. How are you going to achieve your goal, given the fact that inside this human being there are these dimensions? Okay. So that's the confusion of the angels, not the confrontation of the angels. And then Allama says the answer by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that I know what you don't know. He calls it a khamosh jawab, as you say in Urdu. Kind of like a quiet answer. Which means that it's not like he went on the defensive and said that, no, you're wrong about my human. He won't shed blood. She won't cause injustice. She won't do fitna and fasad. She won't corrupt the land. No. The fact that he didn't even address those issues, Allama says in his Tafsir al-Mizan, is the fact that either A, he didn't deem them to be the actual reason why the creation was there, meaning it was a secondary dimension, or number two, he realized that, yes, you're right. I know the human being is capable of all those evil and disgusting acts. But the fact that he was quiet points to the fact that he's actually, you know, indicating, he's doing an ishara, as they say, towards this hidden jewel, this secret, this raz, right? This sirr inside the human being that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I mean, look, you don't know him like I know him. You don't see the things that I see him. You can't fathom what I can fathom. You're not created to be able to understand the gem and the jewel and johar that exists inside the human being. All of that can be included now and inferred by inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamu. By tafsir. And of course, Allama is very careful in the words. It's possible. It could be. Mumkin ast, he would say. It's possible. Not that he's saying this is exactly what God meant. But it seems as if by the tone of the conversation, that God said, look, I know there's a dimension, but there's a whole jewel inside of that human being that you cannot understand. This is not about my hamd and my praise. This is about something grand, something big, something monumental. The representation of me on this earth, fil ardi. It's not like because of the tarke ola and the mistake that Adam made, that the plan changed and now Adam is sent down to earth. Sometimes, you know, in other religions, we're told that the original sin of Adam was the fact that he ate from this tree. And because of that original sin, we now, as a human race, are paying for that sin by living in this limited, disgusted, bloodthirsty world. And we don't believe that in Islam. The plan was always for Adam to go down to earth. It was always for him now to go. Now, maybe, it could be, again, Allah says maybe, because of his tariqi awla, that plan now had become all of a sudden, you know, rushed and it gained momentum that maybe we should do that now as opposed to later. Who knows? But it was always the case that Adam's ultimate aqibat, ultimate destiny was earth. Now, why do I bring this up? It's because it is that I-ness. Because remember, everything that the angels complained about was materialistic in nature, was maddi in nature, was physical in nature. Right? oppression, bloodshed, you know, tyranny. All those things have a physical dimension to it. We're seeing that today, right? In Yemen, in Palestine, in Iraq, in Syria, in Pakistan, up and down the world, we're seeing the physical dimensions, the physical result of someone doing oppression. And yet the fact that Allah doesn't even address that points to the fact that, look, I'm talking about something more grand and higher and at an elevated stage than something physical. Again, pointing to the fact and adding on to our discussion yesterday that talked about the fact that we have this ruhi mujarrad inside of us, this immaterial soul inside of us. Why do I bring it up? It's obvious. Yes, I know. It's not that obvious. There are many individuals who believe in imperialism today and the idea of the empirical sciences where everything is nothing but experiences. Everything is nothing but our emotions and our senses, and those are all physical dimensions, meaning this world is the end all and be all. Our existence and the pinnacle of our existence is this alam and nasut. Islam rejects that. Islam says this is the lowest of the lowest of the lowest worlds, asfal as-safilin. We move towards the malakut and the jabrut, etc., etc. When we begin what? When we detach ourselves, when we are free from the limits of this physical world, including this physical body as well. So it is that ruhi mujarrad, it's that immaterial soul that becomes our essence. That's when we talk about the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Holy Prophet, saying that you were not created to last for limited time only in this world.